On the show today, we have PSCCU's now retired PR director, Margaret Delmonico, talking about her big win, her Credit Union Hero of the Year award. Fantastic conversation covering her career highlights, some lessons learned, and advice. All sorts of great stuff from Margaret, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have an award winner in the midst. Yes, ECU's now retired PR director, Margaret Delmonico. Margaret, how are you? And congratulations, by the way.
Well, first off, thank you so very much. I am doing well. I would like to report to you that I am enjoying retirement, but this isn't quite what I had in mind.
Surprise,
yes, at least for this part of this year.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, and the award that we're talking about is CUNA's Credit Union Hero of the Year Award. So, I mean, just to start things off, how does it feel to win this?
I was completely taken aback. I had no expectation. I am very humbled and honored to receive it. I was in the company of amazing finalists who do such amazing work. And to win such an award for doing work that I really loved and just found immensely fulfilling seems a little surreal.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the cherry on top of the chocolate sundae, I would think, you know, because you have this wonderful career where you've done just amazing things, and then you get this award that just really tops it off quite nicely, I think.
It's a humbling experience.
Yeah.
And my gratitude, honestly. Very blessed. Fortunate to work for a great credit union. I had great leadership and I worked actually for three different presidents. Frank Welga, who was what was then called a general manager.
Right.
Greg Smith was our first president, CEO, and then George Rudolph. All three very different, all three very super, and I learned a lot from them, and even from George in that short period of time that our careers kind of overlapped. Mm-hmm. There were a number of things that grew when I was at PSCCU, because yes, it was 41 years. And so there were many opportunities. And I think one of the greatest opportunities that actually was that springboard for other items was the Speakers Bureau.
Yeah,
because
I was going to bring that up.
I'm trying to start a Speakers Bureau. And it was like, okay, how are we doing this? What's happening? And I said that, you know, I would really like to try my hand at that. To be honest, my undergraduate degree is in theater and speech communications. So being out and talking to people seemed very natural to me, and I would have enjoyed an opportunity. And at the same period of time, our field of membership was expanding. It was a natural extension. We took in the students and the alumni of the 14 state system universities. And we also expanded local governments and school districts because, of course, we started state government and so local governments within Pennsylvania and school districts. So I had the opportunity of meeting so many different people. And the Speakers Bureau grew, and it took in our community events, community outreach. And from there, it also took in financial education at that time. So I remember, actually, if it was back in the 90s, and I was at home sick. And I was on the couch watching TV, and I was watching Oprah. And there was an interview going on about the amount of credit card debt that students were having at that time because of not the best business practices of Leader of Soda credit card application. And certainly that's not something PSECU ever did. But it was that moment where it was like, no, we need to do a better job of financial literacy, which it was called at that time. And so financial literacy grew. And What I'm very pleased about is as the Speakers Bureau grew and developed, it developed actually into what was then two units, business development and public relations. So I said, might I try my hand at the public relations side of it? Because I very much enjoyed the financial education aspect. I very much enjoyed the community outreach aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the story.
Gotcha. Really cool. Yeah. And the other one that really stood out to me was the Wallet Works program. Can you explain what that is for folks out there?
Yes,
real quick?
Go ahead. Yes, thank you. And this is a point of clarification. Financial literacy is what I did start. And then I was able to bring in a team, mm-hmm. teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And as my role of director expanded, there was more and more working in collaboration with my team. Part of my team was corporate comm, part of it was community outreach, part of it was financial literacy, which became financial education, and then became Wallet Works. So it was working closely with a super teammate who is a wonderful addition, and I've often said that you hire for where you want to go. And this was a super hire that Sarah then worked on, you know, taking that financial education up to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rebranded and that became Wallet Works.
Oh, cool.
So it was all part of that financial literacy, financial education aspect.
And you got, and this provided, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It still grows today.
Oh, that's great.
And you know, the stats that were submitted of like 50,000 is actually just the stats in a short period of time recently. But financial education has gone on since the 1990s at PSEC.
Mm-hmm. So that number could be just a fraction, a mere fraction of the total, right? So, yeah, and the other one kind of segues into you guys also, you also developed a scholarship program that awarded more than $500,000 to 135 students. Holy smokes. Tell us a little bit about that.
The scholarship program was something that I had the opportunity to work on and build from the ground up. And we started out awarding $1,000 to four students.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are at, and that's per year.
Right.
As long as they meet the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's six students, $2,000. And again, that's, I have complete faith that the team that is there now, they're going to just keep building that. And I look forward. It's wonderful when you can sit back and you say, you know, I want to see what they're going to do because I know it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we have awarded quite a bit of money to students who are going on for their higher education.
Awesome.
And it's wonderful. And it's only part of what we do in scholarships, actually, because our university development program also offers scholarships to universities and colleges where they have relationships. So we're very committed to education, both financial education, or I believe now it's called financial capability,
mm-hmm.
and also to the opportunity for people to continue their education.
Indeed. And as a parent here of college students, anybody who, you know, anytime you can have funds like that available to students out there to further education and further their lives, I mean, I just thank you for doing something like that. Because for parents, from the parents' perspective, it's like, thank you for doing that. And obviously from the kids' perspective too, it's just equally as grateful as well. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because, you know, every little bit helps in a person's education career and they're reaching their goal. So that was, I really commend people for doing that type of stuff. So I wanted to talk to you about any lessons learned during your career, anything, because I mean, obviously you've seen a lot during your career, but any takeaways that you want to provide?
I've learned that, you know, as a leader, there comes a point in time you have to learn to lead from the back, so to speak, so that you have a team that can grow and develop.
Right.
And really explore their full potential and passion for what they want to do. I've learned that patience is a virtue. I've learned that as good as the intention is, the plan is equally and sometimes far more important. And I've learned to be observant and watch people that I admire, because there's a lot of lessons that can be learned that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, watch and learn for sure. And it wouldn't be a timely interview if I didn't ask a question about the pandemic. So just a real quick brief, what is your take on all that's going on? Obviously, folks who have been in the industry for many, many years have seen the highs and lows, you know, the Great Recession, you know, back in 2008, the internet, the dot-com burst, bubble bursting in, you know, around 2000 or so. So many things happening. What is your take on what's occurring right now?
I said to our corporate communications strategist, wow, this is a real testing question. And how am I going to tell Mike that I've had to actually step away from the news? Because when you are in PR, you do watch the news. Oh. And I complete disclosure, news junkie.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I've had to step away from it because it became very consuming.
Yeah.
And I had no outlet to make it productive. But I will tell you, I think the basics come into play here, mm-hmm. which we always followed at PSECU, and I've never had a day that I worked at PSECU where I would have been afraid of a news story coming to us. And that is something that you are very fortunate to be able to say during your career. Mm-hmm. I think you lead with the truth and transparency, and you surround yourself with experts. You stay to the facts and you have one voice out there and you keep people updated. Mm-hmm. And I think when you do that, you can best control your message out being out there. And again, of course, going out with the truth sooner than later is always, you know, the best option or tactic to do.
Agreed.
And keeping everyone informed. And again, really focusing on the facts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And staying, presenting it in a way, too, that can be easily understood by the variety of audiences. Because you have a variety of audience, no matter where you are, you know, or what story you're telling.
Yeah.
So it has to be something that they can understand and take information away from.
Indeed, indeed. And I want to wrap up with this last question here, and it kind of wraps the interview up in a kind of a bow here, but why, I want to go back to the big beginning, why credit unions? What interested you in credit unions and then to have a 40-year career in this industry?
I was at a conference at Seven Springs where a fellow credit union professional said, yes, like you, I came for a job and ended up with a career. And I told her I was going to use that phrase. Because we are a not-for-profit cooperative, we believe in people helping people. And I saw firsthand the results of that people helping people philosophy, both in how we help them manage their finances and construct our services and our rates, and how we go about engaging with the community and engaging in education. Mm-hmm. Financial literacy, and I do believe that credit unions were ahead of the curve on this. and I believe our credit union was too, offering out to say, how can we help you make the most of this resource? Mm-hmm. So it is that genuine concern that we have for our membership and our community.
Is that that's what attracted you toward this industry and then obviously kept you motivated?
That's what kept me. Again, it was a job. When right. I was 23 when I started at PSECU. Wow. I was very naive. It was my second job out of college. And so, but as I was there, I was working with great people and I was doing work that I really enjoyed mm-hmm. and the credit union was showing growth and there was opportunity. And so that is what kept me. And mm-hmm. you know what? There were people who were willing to invest in me.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is so highly important. And that's our responsibility, you know, as managers, as directors, whatever your title is within the credit union, is to engage and develop your team. And as I said before, you hire where you want to go. Give them the tools that they need to get there. Mm-hmm. And again, you kind of lead from the back, mm-hmm. you know, keep them from keep up. Delegating does not mean abdicating. You keep involved,
yeah.
but you help them develop and yep. be who they can aspire to be.
Indeed. Great lesson for sure. Anything else here to wrap up, Margaret? I mean, I could talk all day on this stuff because I love picking people's brains who've been in the industry for a couple of years and really kind of gain some insights and stuff like that. So I just don't want to add anything else here to wrap up here.
Just a sincere thank you for the Credit Union Magazine Award and everyone who voted. I was in the company of amazing finalists. Oh, I'm completely surprised that I got this. And for people who are in the credit union industry and who serve the members every day, a thank you to them because Indeed. The work they do is very important.
Yeah, it's a very unique group. If you've been in this industry for any time, any amount of time, you discover that it's a very unique, close-knit family. So it's pretty special. So I'm so grateful for you to come on the show today and just give us a few insights and some highlights and just and again, congratulations on a well-deserved award.
Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Margaret. And stay well and be safe, okay?
And the same to you.
Thank you.